Years ago, we heard, "These are the times that try men's souls." As conflict swirls around us, those times have returned. Our fears are very real, but there is a way to handle those fears without collapsing into despair. We can survive terror threats and economic uncertainty if we remember who holds the future. Today, you'll hear how to face your fears and overcome them. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We have a refuge when times are turbulent. That refuge is the Bible. Turn with us to Psalm 27 as Dr. Lutzer comes again to speak on living with fear and winning, as David had to do when pursued by King Saul.
Now, this indeed was written when David was fleeing from King Saul. Think of what David is saying is, not only does God protect me and shield me, but God satisfies me. I get to go into the temple of the Lord, as it were, and I behold the beauty of the Lord, and the Lord hides me in his tabernacle. The imagery is this, that in the Middle East, if you had a friend or someone who was even fleeing from an enemy, you could take that friend and you could hide him in your tent. And the enemy could not get to him unless the enemy got to you first. It was a sign of security, a sign of acceptance. It was guest rights, if you please. And David is saying, you know, that's what God does for me. In the midst of my enemies, in the midst of my fears, there is a sense in which I get to worship him and to enjoy his beauty in his tabernacle, and he surrounds me about in the hollow of his hand and his heart. David says, in the midst of my fears, God actually satisfies me. It's not just that he protects me on the outside, but he gives me something within that is so fulfilling. Thirdly, he says, God accepts me. He accepts me. You'll notice as he continues on, he speaks about seeking the face of the Lord. That is so beautiful that that really needs a separate message. I will not comment on it, although perhaps at the end I'll say a word about it. But he says, Lord, you're saying, seek my face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, because you've been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. And then he says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Now, you have to understand David. David was the last born in his family, and he always struggled with this sense of rejection. And you remember what happened? All of the sons of Jesse marched before Samuel, and Samuel says, I can't figure this out, Lord, because you've not designated any one of these to be king, and apparently I've seen all the sons. And I said, no, you haven't seen them all, actually. There's a young one who's just tending to the lambs and the sheep. You haven't seen him, but there's no way that this boy of 17 could be the right one. So David has this problem with wondering where he fit within the family, perhaps rejected by his older brothers, and also maybe rejected by his parents. So he says, even if my father and mother forsake me, I'm talking about abandonment issues. Those who do counseling, like Pastor Milko and others, they know all about abandonment issues. If a child's been abandoned, it's very difficult sometimes to establish comfortable and wholesome relationships because there is this fear they're going to abandon me again. That's why, by the way, the Church of Jesus Christ must become surrogate families for all the children who feel this sense of rejection and abandonment. That is our responsibility, to be mother and father and cousins and aunts to those children. That's what the body of Jesus Christ is for. But in the process, what we do is we keep drawing them to God and to say that even though your father and mother have forsaken you, and some of you who are adopted feel that way, don't you? The Bible says that the Lord will take you up. God accepts you and receives you, and you'll never be caught in a child custody battle so far as God is concerned. You'll belong to him forever. So David says, my major fear, which is the fear of abandonment, God is taking care of that because even if my parents reject me, God will be there for me. You know, that's comforting, isn't it? You may fear the rejection of a spouse. You may fear the rejection of your parents and relatives. And you may feel the sting and the hurt of betrayal. But God will be there for His people. The third blessing is He accepts us. The fourth blessing is that He will teach and lead us. You'll notice now I'm actually in verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise against me, breathing out violence. We could read today, terrorism. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. He says, God will teach me and God will lead me. Yes, through our fears, God teaches us. God oftentimes takes all of those support systems that we think are so important, and those are taken from us, and all that we have left is God. You've heard me quote the Puritans before, haven't you? When all that we have is God, we discover that God is enough. There is such a thing as comfort and rest and security in God. And David says that actually is the answer ultimately to those whom we fear and the whole fear issues that are so important to us. And he says, lead me, Lord. Keep me from the desire of my enemies. They've laid traps for me. There are some of you who tomorrow morning are going to be in a work environment where there are people whose sole desire is to get you to fail. They want to see you fail. They want to set traps for you. They want to work it in such a way that you fail because it's so important to them either to get your position or else to feel better in relationship to you, full of envy. And then there are others of you who may be harassed and who may be in difficult situations. And David is saying, keep me from the desire of my enemies. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, even though false witnesses have been raised against me. And we find today that there are people all over the place who are willing to be false witnesses. If you get money, if you get prestige, if it helps you, false witnesses abound in our culture. Sometimes even in Christian circles, there are false witnesses that rise against us. So what David is saying is that, Lord, you're giving me these blessings not when everything is going well. You'll notice he says he hides me in his tabernacle, as I mentioned a moment ago, in the day of trouble. Not when you're healthy and well and when you get a windfall and when everything seems to be going in your direction. Very much in the day of trouble, God protects us, satisfies us, receives us, leads us, and in that we can be confident. Now, I began this message by saying that the answer to fear is for us to understand God and His relationship to what's happening in the world. And what I need to tell you is this, that obviously from this psalm we can see, first of all, that the bigger our God, the smaller our fears and our enemies. The bigger our God. Because you see, when David began to understand that the Lord was omnipotent and that He was God, that's what instills confidence in us. Do you remember the early church? They were persecuted, they were whipped. They were taken and they were put in jail. And when they came together for a prayer meeting, a marvelous prayer that was prayed in Acts chapter 4, what did they say? O sovereign Lord, we know that you are the creator of the ends of the earth. That's the way their prayer began. Why did they begin that way? They needed to remind themselves that their enemies who were persecuting them, that even those enemies were created by God and they were dependent upon God for their very breath. Listen, the person who has you in his sights, the person who would like to destroy you, I want to tell you today that that person lives and breathes by the mercy of a sovereign God who could snuff out his breath and his life in 1 second. And so the early church said, Lord, you're the creator, and because you're the creator, you really do have the whole world in your hands, and you are in control. In control. There's a second lesson. And now we get to the biggie that I think is going to be very helpful for all of us. Even when we are in the hands of wicked men, we are still in the hands of God. Even when we're in the hands of wicked men, as believers, we are still in the hands of God. Who is it that crucified Jesus? Peter, when he was preaching to the people, said, You crucified Jesus. Wicked hands crucified him and nailed him to a cross. Wicked hands did it. And yet when Jesus dies on the cross and gives us those marvelous seven sayings from the cross, what is the last one that he gives? He says, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Wicked hands can only do so much. Wicked hands can only snuff out your life or nail you to a cross or cause an explosion or cause a plane to go down. That's all that wicked hands can do. But when wicked hands have done the worst that they can possibly do, underneath are the everlasting hands of God, and those hands sustain God's people even when wicked hands do evil. Always remember that. You remember Jesus said some things about his hands. He says that, as far as my people are concerned, he said, no one can pluck them out of my hands, he says, speaking of his people. And then he says in the very same context, my Father who gave them to me is greater than everybody, and nobody can pluck them out of my Father's hands. You have hands in harmony. You have the hands of the Son, and you have the hands of the Father, and both of them are holding onto God's people. And they hold onto God's people even when God's people are thrown to the lions, even when they are massacred, even when they die in airplanes. They hold on to God's people. Those hands do not let go. Let's take Todd Beamer of Let's Roll fame. Did he as a believer die under the hands of wicked men or the hands of God? Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and that was quite a way to end today's segment, wasn't it? Did Todd Beamer, did he die under the hand of God or under the hand of wicked people? Well, I'm sure you're going to listen next time for a fuller explanation, but you know, the bottom line is that both. You know, he died because wicked men, of course, were on that plane, but he also died as a believer within the larger context of God's will and God's purposes. Take it from my heart to yours today, based on the Word of God. You are in God's hands. And the fears that I was talking about in the message, those fears can be set aside because God is greater than our fears. I hope that you take time to listen to the message carefully. In fact, you may get your own copy and listen to it again so that you can have in your heart this famous scripture that helps us understand that God is with us until we die and beyond. We are in the hands of our loving Father.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has brought part two of Living with Fear and Winning, a message on seeing your fears from God's perspective. Tomorrow, join us for some final lessons from Psalm 27. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. This message can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call us toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Living with Fear and Winning. Visit our website at runningtowin.org. And don't forget that Running to Win is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Are you fearful? For more from Psalm 27, join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.